Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market blog. I will link to that website below this interview. Mark, as we usually do, let's recap some of the data that we have seen out of the U.S. We didn't get to chat last week, and at the tail end of last week, we had the jobs data that came in and surprised to the upside. Double as many jobs were created as was expected. That was a pretty big surprise for the job market, as we were seeing prior to that news a lot of disappointing job numbers for the last 2 months. And then this week it was all about inflation. CPI, PPI both came in, the headline and core rates under expectations. However, they are still up at historically or relatively historically high levels. Let's start with the inflation data. Mark, any key takeaways in your eyes from that inflation data?
Well, I think the first most important thing is just remember that one inflation print. So just the fact that it came in lower than expected, probably the first downside surprise we've had in many months. But I think the key issue is whether this is going to get move the Fed's needle. And my best guess is it really doesn't. And for several reasons. One, and probably the most important reason, is that the Federal Reserve is going to get another CPI report before they meet again in late September. Secondly, you know, the Federal Reserve wants to see is a sustained move towards their target. So it takes more than 1 month to make that a sustained move. Thirdly, we know that energy prices have fallen in the U.S. We're looking at gasoline prices falling now, where the average price in the country is just below $4 a gallon. We've seen a big sell-off in oil prices as well. So we know that energy prices were going to weigh on the headline numbers. And the core came in unchanged. Some were looking for an increase there. We know that food prices remain, at least on the retail level, still very elevated, even though they began falling in the wholesale markets. Producer prices also surprised on the downside here, and that what we see is falling commodity prices in general. But this is, again, when you think about what does this mean for Fed policy? So the first question really is, will it change what we expect for its September meeting? And right now, the market's pricing in almost a 50-50 chance of a 75 basis point move next month, the third one in a row. Now, before we had that CPI number on the back of that employment number, the odds were a bit higher. I think I had them up to about 65% to 70%. But so we're finishing still 50-50, which is still a strong odds, I think. And also, the market's still talking about, looking at the Fed funds futures, the market's still looking for the year-end rate to be about 3.5%. This is essentially unchanged. So say we've been in a range 3.25 to 3.5. For several weeks now. And all we're doing is flirting with the upper end of that, but we're still talking about 350 when the most hawkish member of the Fed, who used to be a dove, Kashkari from Minneapolis, wants to see it at 375 to 4% at the end of the year.
Yeah, Mark, it's interesting because to your point, not really that much has changed in the outlook for the Fed. They're still going to hike in September. And if it's 75 basis points or even if it's 50, they still have the opportunity in both November and December to do two more hikes and get it to that 3.5 to 3.75 range, the upper end of what they're calling normalized rates. And so while the market is forward-looking and they were encouraged by the low CPI number, it wasn't that low. It's just a little lower than it was. And then to your point about the commodities having an effect in energy in particular, we have seen the commodities turn up a little bit this week on the weaker dollar. So do you think that could change the trend? Because we still have a whole other months of reporting to come in before the September meeting.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I guess what I'm looking at is, I think the dollar's going to get stronger next week. Look what happened. We had three numbers this week on inflation that were lower than expected. CPI, PPI, and then earlier today, Friday, we had softer than expected import and export prices. And yet, the U.S. 10-year yield's up 3 basis points this week. That's after being up almost 18 basis points last week. So I think the interest rates are leading the way, and I think this will help underpin the dollar, which had gotten beaten up took out some, or tested some important technical levels on Wednesday after the soft CPI number. So I look for the dollar to come back. I think what's interesting is that the market's pushing against the Fed in a way. The Fed says it wants to tighten financial conditions. And what has the market done? Stock market, both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, is up 4 weeks in a row here. The dollar is softer. And interest rates are net-net probably mixed if you think over the last 4 weeks while the stock market's been rallying. 4 weeks ago, the 10-year yield was at about 290, and today we're about 285. So maybe interest rates may be a little bit softer. So net-net, financial conditions have eased while the Fed wants to tighten them. And I think that next week, we get the retail sales in the U.S., we get industrial production, and both those numbers, I think, are going to be consistent with, say, respectable growth in Q3. After contracting in Q1 and Q2, it looks like Q3 could be 2 to 2.5%.
So, Mark, do you think that this more risk-on attitude that has helped pretty much every sector, do you think this attitude continues if you are thinking that the data does improve for this quarter?
And isn't that the tough thing, huh? In 2020, we had horrible economy, strong stocks. Last year, we had stronger economy, weaker stocks, more difficult stock market. I think that next week is sort of the pushback against the Fed trying to tighten financial conditions. I think that eases. So I think that in some ways, good news for the economy, bad news for risk assets.
Well, Mark, another factor with the dollar is really how it's weighted against the other currencies, in particular the euro, the yen, the pound. Do you think that the dollar rising would also signify some of those currencies falling? Because they've all had a little bounce, which has pressured the dollar. So just interested to get your thoughts on the currencies globally.
Yeah, sure. So the euro, I'm watching this trend line going back to February, got the March highs and the June highs, and it comes in next week, beginning, say, on Monday at around 103.80 or so, 103.70. It's falling by about 40 pips a week. And so as long as we stay below that trend line, I think that this bounce we've seen in the euro from roughly, roughly 99.50 to roughly 103.50 or so, say, I think that move is probably over or just about over. So as long as that trend line holds, I'd be looking for the euro to move lower. And I think that maybe we could see 101. We go through 101. I think you have to be thinking about it to retest on the lows. I wouldn't rule that out yet. For dollar yen, interesting thing I'd say about dollar yen is foreigners, for the last 6 weeks, have been buying a record amount of Japanese bonds. You'd say, why are they buying Japanese bonds? The yield is so low. Well, here's what happens for a lot of foreign investors. One is they were short them, so they're buying them back, cover shorts. But the real play seems to be for dollar-based investors to buy Japanese bonds and then hedge the currency. By hedging the currency means selling the yen and buying dollars. And that cost of doing that gives you a total return of over 4%. So again, it's not in capturing the yield. That's not why they're buying the Japanese government bonds. They're really capturing the swapping, the hedging of the yen exposure back into dollars. The other thing I'd say about dollar-yen here is that, you know, when we talk about it, I often emphasize how sensitive it is to the U.S. 10-year yield. U.S. 10-year yields rise, typically the dollar rises against the yen. But most recently, it seems that there's been a little bit of a subtle shift away from the 10-year note to the 2-year yield. So it's becoming more of a Fed policy issue on dollar-yen rather than the long end of the curve. And just something just to be a bit sensitive to, which means that because the short end of the curve is anchored by Fed policy, they might be more supportive of dollar-yen. The only thing that would turn me bearish to dollar right now against the yen is we go through the 130 area. I think it's unlikely. We approached it earlier this month, and it held, and we got a nice bounce off of it. I'd be looking at the upside. Maybe it's once we can get it back above 135, I think it's like 137, 137.5 is reasonable.
Okay, so Mark, let's say we do get a rebound in the dollar, because the dollar has moved down in the last pretty much 4 weeks, again, corresponding really well with that market rally and that more risk-on attitude. If the dollar does rebound here, what else does that impact market-wise, commodity-wise, even precious metals-wise? What do you carry over to the impacts?
Yeah, sure. So I think that it's not that the dollar is going to cause this, but I think the same forces that lift the dollar help weigh on bond yields, so pushing up bond yields. Maybe we've seen a four-week rally in the stock market. Maybe we get some profit-taking ahead of Jackson Hole later this month where the Federal Reserve is going to be speaking. I think that generally it might mean that that gold, though it's flirting with these with this week's highs, it's sort of been knocking along them for a few days now. Maybe we get a pullback in gold as well. And I think that generally then it would probably be a little bit heavier for commodities. But of course, each commodity has its own supply-demand function. But broadly speaking, a higher dollar could weigh on commodity prices.
Yeah, Mark, I'd love to get your thoughts too on, we had talked a little bit off mic before we started recording about your thoughts on gold and why someone would want to hold it here. It has had a nice rally. It got down to 1678 on the futures just about a month ago and has rallied for the last 4 weeks. It's above 1800 now, around 1850 on the futures markets. But that $1,800 level has been a magnet. It seems like we've been talking about it for over a year now. It just keeps getting there and getting stuck in that range. It's kind of out of the danger zone, but it doesn't look like there's a lot of upside. What's your outlook on gold as an asset class?
Yeah, I mean, it matters what you think drives gold. You know, we've had like this, right? We all know about we had strong inflation. And yet gold really suffered, like you say, last month, especially put those lows in. I think if we're going to have a higher interest rate environment for the next 3 to 6 months, it seems to me more likely than that gold would move lower. Sort of interest-free assets have a difficult time, I think, in these rising interest rate environment. And so my sense would be that the Fed gets done raising rates late this year. If I'm wrong, it's going to maybe one more hike early next year. And then I think after U.S. rates peak or as they approach the peak Fed policy, then I think looking at gold might be more attractive. And so that means just being patient here. We're knocking along these resistance areas. I'm watching the 200-day moving average in the spot market, which is about 1845. We've been holding below that more or less since the middle of June.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is gold has been relatively boring when you compare it to what the markets have done. Gold is about 20% off of its highs from early March, and it has rebounded about 8% from those lows at 1678. When you compare it to what the markets have done, the markets have swung further to the downside and also rebounded a little bit quicker. What about the gold stocks, though? Because carry it over to the gold stocks, those have traded more in line with the equity markets. Does that correlation break if maybe the markets start doing better, but gold struggles a little?
Yeah, no, I tend to often like follow the gold miners as part of the just broadly mining sector, not so much tied to the price of gold. Though at extremes, of course, it becomes more important. So broadly, though, I think that the mining sector might be under pressure if the dollar does rebound here.
What about energy, Mark? We talked a little bit about how oil prices have come off. I mean, that gas is still pretty high comparative to its normal pricing, but oil is the prime mover, and oil kind of ties into inflation. It ties into that headline number you discussed. What's your outlook on the energy markets?
Yeah, so oil and energy markets still interesting. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I mean, when we're talking about the 200-day moving average in gold, 200-day moving average in oil and the September crude contract coming in around 89.25. We flirted with it. We've even closed below it a couple of days, but we're back above it. I think that what's really driving oil right now is concern about global slowdown. And, you know, it's been up until now, I think, a larger supply story. And now I think increasingly the reason we're down here, remember, we peaked in the September contract back in June around 118. Like I say, as we go into the weekend, we're trading around $92 a barrel here. So I think that the supply-demand sort of have balanced themselves and neutralized each other down here. So I'd be looking for broad consolidation, roughly $90 to $100 a barrel.
All right, Mark, let's look a little bit ahead then to some upcoming data from next week. Again, we're in this period where we're still getting another round of data before the next Fed meeting. However, we do have Jackson Hole coming up. Who knows what the Fed, what Jerome Powell is going to talk about there. But what sort of data should we be watching for next week that could move markets at least a little bit?
I've been watching, the U.S., we know that the housing sector, very interest rate sensitive. That's probably still under pressure, but from high levels, from levels we hadn't really seen, since the great financial crisis. So housing market slowing down from high levels. But what I'm going to be really focusing on is the retail sales and industrial production report. And that's because we're still trying to get our handle around whether we're, is the U.S. in a recession? Though I don't think we are. We really need the evidence for this. And what would really help would be if Q3 expands. And I think a healthy step in this direction would be a stronger retail sales number and industrial production figures. So I think that those are, the other thing to be keeping an eye on is before the markets open up again on a Monday, China's going to have a big data dump for the month of July. And even though the economy looks like it's recovering very slowly. Japan also has a big data dump, including the first look at Q2 GDP before the markets really open on Monday. And there, after a week that is contracting Q1, they look like they expanded sharply in Q2, maybe as much as 2.5, 2.7%. So we get those to start the week. We got the U.S. data. And then we also have two central banks of interest meeting, both of them going to likely to raise interest rates. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand, most likely to raise 50 basis points. Norway also meets. Norway is interesting because, you know, they were among the first central banks to raise interest rates, but they're sort of lagging behind. Now they're at 1.25, and they're looking at inflation, which is north of 6%. So they're going to have to get on the ball, and they're going to have to hike rates, even though this is not the typical meeting in which they do it. Usually, like the European Central Bank, when they make a move, they want to do it typically around a monetary policy statement. And so this is an interim meeting, but Norway may still have to go. And that just underscores the real message, even if you don't have New Zealand exposure, Norway exposure. The takeaway is that central banks around the world are still raising interest rates, and they're still willing to, they're really basically trying to demonstrate their anti-inflation commitment, even though many economies are weakening.
All right, Mark, thank you as always for your time. Again, this is the recent data, needs to be taken with a grain of salt because it is going against what the trend has been in inflation, in jobs. But the thing is, we still have another round of data before the next Fed meeting. And again, we're in summer. We've gotten a nice little relief rally here. We'll see how long this rally goes. But boy, oh boy, this is not a loved rally from a lot of people that we are talking about. But maybe Q3 might be better and surprise a lot of the bears out there. Mark, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great weekend.
Good luck. Thanks to everybody.